Well, we're up to part 10, after a little review at least. Part 10 of Acts Actions. And we'll be looking at what Paul said that Christ commissioned him with, a dispensation of the gospel. And he narrowed it down. He said it was the gospel of Christ, and we know in Romans 1:16, he said the gospel of Christ is to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And we see elsewhere that it's the same saving message that he was preaching. So, to start off with, let's look in let's look at Christ's commissioning of Paul during this dispensation of the gospel. I shouldn't say this because it's no longer relevant. It was surpassed in Acts 20. But in the meantime, 1 Corinthians 9, verses 17, 18, 19, and 20 shed some light on what was going on in that period where Israel was going through the work that Habakkuk 1:5 prophesied. They were going through a diminishing, and yet the Lord sent Paul with a dispensing of the gospel of Christ. So, starting in 1 Corinthians 9:17, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What's my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel." Thank you for posting these. Verse 19, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." And we just saw a couple other places where Paul talked about gaining more, having more people be saved. Excuse me just a minute, please. So, we're going to go on with verse 20. "Unto the Jews I became as a Jew." Now, this is in a dispensation of the gospel of Christ, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So he says, "Unto the Jews I became as a Jew." He went way out of his way, in other words. "That I might gain the Jews." To the Jew first and also to the Greek. So he addresses the Greek next. "To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." So that was other people besides that first group, besides the Jews, that respected the law, kept it as they could. They met together with the Jews. So with that in mind, let's look at the places where Paul goes after the Jews, and he's not chasing them down the way he was chasing down Stephen and those others before he was saved. But he is cornering them. He's concentrating on the Jews and the Greeks during a dispensation of the gospel. And that all ended in about Acts 20 when he... you don't see much more of his ministering because he's under arrest and having to answer to different judges, different kings, Festus and Agrippa, and then Caesar. He appeals to Caesar. So you don't see much of it after Acts 20, but that's when he was sent to all people. Now, it doesn't change who he preaches to, necessarily, I should say. It doesn't necessarily. He could have preached to anybody he wanted to all through this dispensation. That we're looking at, the dispensation of the gospel that came before the dispensation we're in, the dispensation of the grace of God. So, with that in mind, let's look at some of the verses we looked at to close with yesterday, and then that was the first time that he went after the Jews and the Greeks, and we'll look at, I didn't count them, it looks like maybe 10 other places in Acts that, I mean, it's just one rapid success, one after the other, put it that way. Acts 13:1 to start with. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, also that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Verse 3, "And when they had fasted and prayed, they..." let me get that right. Hold on. "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Verse 4, "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister." Verse 6, "And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus." So even though he was a false prophet, a bad Jew, Paul concentrated on him because he was a Jew in this dispensing of the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Just a moment, please. Next, okay, we got a whole series of nexts here. This next takes us to Acts 13, verse 14. And we'll read 13, 14, Acts 13, verses 14, 15, and 16, and then verse 26. So starting in verse 14, "And when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went in to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down." Well, you can tell they're after Jews there, going in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Verse 15, "And after the reading of the law and the prophets," again Jewish, "the rulers of the synagogues sent unto them, saying, 'You men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on.'" Then, verse 16, "Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, 'Men of Israel, and you that fear God, give audience.'" So besides men of Israel in the synagogue, there were those, it says, "ye that fear God." That's non-Jews or Gentiles that were devout. They're called devout Gentiles in places in the scriptures. Some places where they're not called Greeks, but same description. So that's reemphasized in verse 26, Acts 13, 26. "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham," and I think he's referring back to the men, "whosoever among you feareth God." Well, that's who he's addressing, but he's telling them something too. He's saying, "To you is the word of this salvation sent." So he's going to tell them about a different salvation, this salvation, and he's saying it's sent to you Jews and Greeks. That's the ones that Christ had to deliver him from. That's the ones that in Acts 6:26-17, Christ sent Paul to. "Delivering you from the Jews, from this people, and from the..." Hold on, let me get it. That's Acts 26. I started saying it because I think it's relevant enough that it should apply here. We should read it. Acts 26:17. "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles." Who's he sending him to? He's sending him to those that he has to deliver him from, the people and the Gentiles. certain people and certain Gentiles. He wasn't having to be delivered from all Gentiles and people. You can, there's a whole lesson on five times delivered on the website, on the Trusted Speakers page, that goes through each one and shows five different times the Lord delivered him, and it always ends up the Jews and the Greeks that Paul was being sent to. Back to the topic here. this is another next. The next time that Paul goes after the Jews, Acts 14, verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. There's the Jews again, the synagogue of the Jews. And so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. So there you've got believing Jews and believing Greeks in verse 1. In verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. So here you see unbelieving Jews and generals in general that are not generals, Gentiles in general that are not called Greeks. They're not seekers of the wisdom and knowledge of God. They're on the outside of the synagogues. They're ready to fight the Jews and the Greeks that do believe. The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Okay, next, we're going to go to Acts 17, verse 1. This is all to demonstrate that during this period, from Acts 13 to Acts 19, Paul was going after the Jews and the Greeks in a dispensation of the gospel of Christ, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It was his calling at that, it was his commission, his sending, Christ's sending of him at that time. Acts 17:1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And it tells how he went in, and he preached 3 days, as his manner was. Three Sabbath days, be about 3 weeks, probably an hour a week, he taught them that Jesus is the Messiah, arisen from the dead, the Son of God, the gospel of God. That was his what he was preaching when he would go to a synagogue. He preached that Jesus is the one you passed up and murdered. Okay, next, we're going to go down to verse 10 in Acts 17. Acts 17:10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. He's going after the Jews again. Next, verse 16, Acts 17, verse 16 and 17, starting with Acts 17:16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the whole city given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, that's in Athens, and with the devout persons, in the market, daily, with them that met with him. So you've got Paul's meeting there already. Generally, Paul's meeting consisted of people that believed, they heard the gospel of God from Paul in the synagogues, they believed it and were no longer welcome in the synagogues, and they met together apart from the synagogue, either in the Hall of Tyrannus, School of Tyrannus, I think it's called, or in the house built, joined hard against the synagogue, or in, you know, people you read at the end of some of Paul's epistles, house after house that has a church meeting in their house. The church being 4 or 5 people, 6 maybe. So, Paul was still only sent to the Jews and the Greeks. But that was ascending. not a restriction. So there in Athens, it says that in the market he preached. Well, let me. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. It doesn't necessarily say that those are only believers that met with him. In the market could mean there were people looking over their shoulders, listening in too, alien Gentiles. It doesn't say, so we can't narrow it down. And you can't say that there definitely were aliens listening either. Paul could, and he did, preach to those who would listen and might believe. So that's what we learned from Athens. Let's go on to Corinth next, in other words. Next, Acts 18, verses 1 through 6, at least. Let's start in verse 1. Acts 18. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila. So there's he's looking for Jews. He found one. Born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius, that would be a Caesar, Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. Verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, and wrought, or did their craft, made it, finished them. What he was doing, it says in the last part of the verse, the tents, and wrought, for by occupation they were tent makers. Tent makers in the original sense, the common sense. before it, it came to mean earning your own way, even though you're preaching the gospel. So, going on to the next verse, verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Verse 5, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ, or Messiah. So he's still preaching harder and harder that gospel of God, found in Romans 1, 1 through 4, especially 3 and 4. Going on to verse 6, Acts 18, 6, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be on your own heads. I'm clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Now, he's talking about going to the Gentiles, but notice that is a similar statement to the one he made in Acts 13, I'm trying to think, it's about 45, 46, 48, somewhere in there. 46, I think it is. But neither this or the Acts 13 statement are as strong and as didactic as the Acts 28 statement at the end. They will hear it. From Acts 13:4 until Acts 20, verse 6, the context shows that the Gentiles Paul was sent to and went to were the Gentiles in the synagogues, like the ones in that we've read about here. And you can go through the references on the recording if you need to list them separately. But it was those Gentiles, the Greeks, the devout persons, they're called in one place. They are sometimes called Greeks, sometimes called devout persons, sometimes called devout Greeks. And once they're even called you that fear God, besides Jews that fear God. So going on to verse, we're going to go on down through verse 11, Acts 18, starting with verse 7. And he departed thence and came into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God. So he departed. It's not just, he went to somewhere else. This is after they preached the gospel of God in the synagogue there, and they had to leave. They didn't You know, it says when they opposed them, in verse 6, when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be on your own heads, I'm clean. From henceforth I will go to the Gentiles. And he departed from thence and went into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. So, still gathering the Jews that would believe, and the Greeks, and meeting next to the synagogue there, in the house built hard against the synagogue, but separate from it. Apparently like a duplex kind of a deal. Okay, we come to another next. Next, we're going to go down to the next verse, actually, and see Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue. This is Acts 18:8. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed. There's that order again, Ephesians 1:13. They heard it, they believed it, and were baptized. Verse 9. Now, remember, this is Acts 18:8. It's before the Acts 18:22 temple vision, when he probably heard Christ say, or reported, you know, that Christ sent me not to baptize. So this is before he was sent not to baptize. Verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I'm with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. That's Corinth. And he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Who's the them? It's the believers that came out of the synagogue and met in the house, joined hard against the synagogue with Paul. Paul's meeting there. So let's go to thanks, Vic. The next place we're going is Acts 18, verse 19. He came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Still from Acts 13 through Acts 19. This is Acts 18. So that's all we got on that one. Let's go to the next one in Acts 19. Acts 19, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples. These are words that you see repeated in each of these synagogues. Not each, maybe, but different words. Consorted. They consorted with him. It says here it says he separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. One more verse. Verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. That's who he's talking about during a dispensation of the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's everybody heard it. All the Jews and Greeks heard it. You see how it's limiting? It's still the Jews and the Greeks. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let me read that again. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. It doesn't mean that alien Gentiles in that area heard it. It means that the Jews and the Greeks in that area are the all. All of them that he was sent to at that time. We've got one more next. This is in Acts 19, verse 17. And it goes on through 18, 19, 20, 21. And then we get to a little different aspect of it. But let's look at this starting in Acts 19, verse 17. And this was known to all Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. What's the name of the Lord Jesus? Jesus, Savior, Christ, Messiah. And when they taught about him, what was the word that they taught? The news was that he had risen from the dead. The gospel of God, in other words. The name or identity of Jesus, who he is. He's the Messiah that Daniel talked about. In Daniel 9, 20, I'm trying to think, I think it's 24 and 25. I misread it. Not the scripture, the verse is right, Acts 19, 17, but we don't follow on down through that passage. Let's go to Acts 20, verse 17, and that'll be 17, 20, 18, 20, 19, 20, 20, and 21. 20 verse 21 is a very crucial verse there. It's a summary verse. But going to Acts 20 verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Remember that? This was after he was actually sent to all people in Acts 20 verse 6 when he sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia. And so this is Acts 20, verse 17. He was on a fast track to go to Jerusalem. He had stopped at Troas, spoke, preached all night. Anyway, here at Miletus, he sent inland to Ephesus, called the elders of the church. They met him down there, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, verse 18, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, that's the province there, after what manner I have been with you all, with you at all seasons. Verse 19, Acts 20, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me in the lying wait of the Jews. And verse 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. What was profitable to them? It was profitable to them to not hear that these alien pig-eating, catfish-eating, Sabbath-hating Gentiles were coming into the same body of Christ. That wasn't profitable to them during a dispensation of the gospel. During that time when Israel, God was working a work in Israel. It's a short work, yeah. He cut it short in righteousness. The righteousness that comes to those who believe Paul's gospel. How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. And here's that summary verse. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. In other words, change your mind about God and his man, Jesus Christ. Repentance, change your mind. And faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him. That, I believe, is a reference to the salvation gospel. That he would teach those that did repent toward God and change their mind and believe that Jesus was the Messiah, risen from the dead. So let's go on a little further, I think. In Acts 26... that's pretty much the end of the series of the different events where Paul was, where we picked them out to show that Paul was going after the Jews and the Greeks. But to the Gentiles was the gospel of God sent, but which ones? Which Gentiles was it sent to? It was sent to those that were called the Greeks. They were seeking God. They were in the synagogues where the word of God was read. The scriptures were kept and read in the synagogue. they wanted to come to God God's way, that he was working through Israel. They came through Israel's synagogues. They didn't, you know, you can't blame them that the synagogues were apostate. So, welcome to the room. Acts 26:15, and said, "Who art thou, Lord?" So this is Paul recounting his Acts 9 salvation to King, I think this is before Agrippa, in front of Agrippa. And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Now, there were a lot of people persecuting him, weren't there? Remember the high priest included, and the council, and the elders and scribes persecuting Stephen. And the Holy Ghost, actually, the words coming out of Stephen's mouth were the Holy Ghost's words. But Jesus is working with one man here. "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou," singular, "thou persecutest." Verse 16, "But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." So, that's not a period though, is it? Let me go back and read a little bit into it so we get the flow here as we go into the next verse. "To make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles." The people and the Gentiles are whom, unto whom now I send thee. The ones he was delivering them from. It's all in that verse. It's a little awkward grammar, the way we think, the way, you know, 400 years later. But it's there. Next verse. Why is he sending them to these... Why was he sending him to the people in the Gentiles, or Greeks, in the synagogues? To open their eyes. And to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. To turn them around, so that they would repent, it said earlier. Repent, change their mind about who God is. Who God's man is. Jesus Christ. Risen from the dead. Son of God. That's the first part of the verse. To open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light. God is light. Light of the world, Jesus claimed to be. And from the power of Satan that they were under in disbelief, unto God. Believe God's men. Well, the rest of the verse says, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins. The word so isn't in there, excuse me. That they, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. And inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So he goes beyond the gospel of God, identifying who Jesus is, and he talks about them putting their faith in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. And inheritance, inheriting heaven. What is our inheritance? Heaven. Acts 26:19. "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." So we know that what Christ sent Paul to do back there in Acts 13 to Acts 19, Paul did. We know that what Paul did is what Paul was sent to do, with other possible additions. For instance, in the market there, we talked about the ambiguity before, so... But it's there. It's a possibility. So Acts 26, verse 20. "But showed first unto them of Damascus." So he's talking to King Agrippa, and he's saying how he applied that sending the Lord did. "Showed first to them of Damascus." What did he preach there? We saw he preached the gospel of God in Acts 9, verses 19 to 20. Verse 22 and verse 27, "And at Jerusalem he preached the gospel of God," Acts 9, verses 28 and 29, "and throughout all the coasts of Judea," He preached the gospel of Christ in Acts 13. Especially verses 39, Acts 13, 39, 38 and 39. But that whole sermon there from Acts 13, around verse 15 there, verse 15 or 16, 14, 15 or 16, where he starts through the end of the chapter. He's preaching a salvation gospel, not just the gospel of God. And then it says, then to the Gentiles, this is reading through each section of Acts 26, verse 20, then to the Gentiles. So he did preach to the Jews and the Greeks in the synagogues till you get down to this part here, then to the Gentiles in Acts 20, verse 6, and Acts 20, verse 22 to 27. That's the gospel of the grace of God after he had been sent to all people. Then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. And notice that Paul does not make repentance and works conditions for salvation. What Paul acted on, but didn't spell out for King Agrippa, was that the people should change their minds to believe the gospel of God, whether they had been called in circumcision or called in uncircumcision, according to 1 Corinthians 7, verse 18. The circumcised should do works of faith, as Peter and James did. The uncircumcised that believe the gospel that Paul preached should walk worthy of the God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory, the vocation wherewith you are called. Paul wrote in 1st or 2nd Timothy or Ephesians. I should have looked up where it is, but it's out of the scripture, from the scripture. Acts 26, verse 21. For these causes, here we get in 20, 21, and 22 go together, and he's not talking about all his life has he never taught anything other than this. He's got it narrowed down to when they charged him. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day. Well, from when? Not continuing from the stoning of Stephen to that day. He's not talking about what he preached from the stoning of Stephen until the present time, his then present time. He's not continuing from collecting believing Jews from Damascus. He's not continuing from Antioch of Pisidia or Philippi or Thessalonica or Corinth unto that day. Paul continued unto that day from the day he was charged in the verse before, Acts 26:21. There's no conflict there about what he preached. He's only saying that he was, from when he was charged, he only preached, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing to both small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. Again, that's the gospel of God. He rose, the resurrection, although that's part of the gospel of Christ, it's also a primary part of the gospel of God. And he wasn't saying, trust Christ to have died for your sins, to anybody during those 2 days or whatever. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple, having therefore obtained help from God, I continue to this day. From when they caught him in the temple to this day, is what he's saying. All right, let's go on. We're going to show what that gospel is, and then we'll close and try to finish the series tomorrow. But here's that same saving message to the Jews and the Greeks that was later sent to all men. We're going to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Often it's read or quoted 1 through 4, but that's not the end of the sentence. And the two verses that you add to get to the end of the sentence are confirming of what's in verse 4. The third day he rose again. It's witnesses to the resurrection. So, let's start in verse 1, and then after this we'll close. Have your questions ready. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Okay, that's all I've got planned for today. Can we answer any questions for you that you might have?